Okay. Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is our 72 lesson of the 6-page Dhamma Platform Sutta, dated 15 April 2018. It's a Sunday, Wu Ping Ching Sa. Let us get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence our puja. Namo Bhansi Sijya Moni Ho. Namo Bhansi Sijya Moni Ho. Namo Bhansi Sijya Moni Ho. Namo Guansi Pusa. Namo Guansi Pusa. Namo Guansi Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddha Bhagavantam Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supati Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddham saranam gacchami. Dhammam saranam gacchami. Sangham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi buddham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammam saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi sangham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi buddham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammam saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi sangham saranam gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu mechachara veramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Surameraya majapama dadhana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attention. Then we will commence our sutta sharing. We are at page 363. It's a new chapter on Bhikkhu. Testing, 1, 2, 3. 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 Okay, I think no more echo, right? Huh? Yeah, okay. I think somebody go and turn it accidentally, the echo, bass and all those things. Okay, before we start the sutta sharing, turn to page 1, where we will recite the verse for opening a sutta. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, let me turn to page 363. Okay. Oh, we have covered quite a lot. I think more than 80%. Left with only less than 20%. Very good. So this chapter is on one of the other Bhikkhu. Bhikkhu Shen Hui. A young boy, 13 years old, named Shen Hui, who was from the Cao family in Xiangyang, came from Yuchuan to pay homage. The master said, "The knowing one's journey must have been difficult. Did you bring the original with you?" So the way they talk is different, very deep language. If you have the original, you should know the owner. Try to explain it to me. Shen Hui said, "I take no dwelling as the original and the seeing as the owner." The master said, "The Samanera imitates the talk of others." Shen Hui then asked, "When you sit in Zen, High Master, do you see or not see?" The master hit him 3 times with his staff and said, "When I hit you, does it hurt or not?" He replied, "It both hurts and does not hurt." The master said, "I both see and do not see." Then Shen Hui asked, "How can you both see and not see?" The master said, "When I see is the transgression and error of my own mind. I do not see the right, wrong, good or bad of other people. This is my seeing and not seeing. How can you say it both hurt and does not hurt? If it does not hurt, you are like a piece of wood or a stone. But if it does hurt, you are just like a common person. And it does give rise to aversion, not hatred, because you don't like that pain or that sensation. So your seeing and not seeing are both extremes.
And your hurting and not hurting are production and extinction. You have not even seen your own nature, and yet you dare to ridicule others. So this is a very good exchange. Eh? So this Shen Hui, even though 13 years old, eh, so he had journeyed very far. And I think he also went through a lot of difficulty. That's why when he arrived, the master already knew. The knowing one's journey must have been difficult, he said. Then he somewhat asked him, did you bring the original with you? Yeah. So through the exchange, I think the master was able to develop further understanding for this Shen Hui. Yeah. But at that time, 13 years old, can you become a monk? Can? Oh, Samanera. Oh, he hasn't become a bhikkhu. Oh, that time he was just a Samanera. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, somewhere there, huh? So when Hui Ning spoke to him, he asked him, "Did you bring the original with you? You have the original. You should know the owner." Try to explain it to me. So he actually gives Shen Hui a chance. Then Shen Hui started wrongly. He said, I take no dwelling as the original and seeing as the owner. Then immediately Hui Ning said, the Samanera imitates the talk of others. You know what is that meaning or not? Means you hear from people, then you repeat it thinking that you know. Means it's very theoretical. Yeah. In fact, a lot of cultivators initially are trapped in knowledge. That's why this way of learning is thought-based learning. So thought-based learning, it is not through your direct seeing, your awakening, and that understanding is just knowledge-based, which is not true wisdom. That's why most of them have superficial knowledge but don't have prajna. So this young Samanera also supposed to be very, very well recognized in his practice and all those things. That's why he journeyed from far to come and seek certification and confirmation. I think Hui Ning knew. That's why he gave him a chance. He asked him, did you bring the original? That one very important. No? Penlaidamianmu, original nature, understand? True nature. So, this Samanera thought, yeah, I brought along. That's why he said, Hui Ning told him, can you try to explain it to me? If you have the original, you should know who the owner is. So he tried to use his knowledge. Then Shen Hui said, I take no dwelling as the original and seeing as the owner. See, he get himself tangled up. Because this is what normal people would say. You remember, Hui Neng, not Shen Xiu, I sometimes mix up these two. Hui Neng, his essence of his teaching is what? He got three very unique, we call it, I don't like to use the word characteristic, but the three universal characteristics already used for the Anicchang Dukkha Anatta. I prefer the word three hallmark of Hui Neng's teaching. So the three hallmark of Hui Neng's teaching is what? First one is no thought, very good. So we write down the three hallmarks. Oh, Hui Neng's teaching. So first one is he take you directly to the true mind. That's why no thought. That's why all meditation must start with this. You cannot reach the point of no thought, which is the silent mind, means you are not using the true mind to meditate. If you cannot silence and still your mind, that is the mundane mind, that is the thought. And if you use that to meditate, you cannot penetrate the Dhamma, where the instrument itself limits you. You're supposed to realize through the direct seeing and awaken to the Dhamma or truth that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So this is very important. So the first hallmark is no thought. Then after that is, what is the next one? No mark. So here the mark is important. No mark of a self cultivating. So this one, no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of living being or others. Then no mark of even the phenomenal world, the conditioned world. We are all those that have mark are within the conditioned world. So you understand what is mark, Xiang. Or you can call it the phenomenal world. Phenomena. So phenomena basically got three. Physical phenomena, mental phenomena, and nature's phenomena. So they will cover all of phenomena within nature. So Xiang is also the same, Ming Zai, Nama Rupa, form and mind, phenomena. Then nature's phenomena, Dhammachat. So these are all within the conditioned world. So when you understand the conditioned world, you will act, speak, and think using the form and mind, but you don't carry this delusion of mark. Because of your wisdom, you have penetrated. You know that they are not real. But yet, within the conditioned world, they are as real as they can be. Because it follows the law of karma. Understand? That form and mind, although not you, not real. But it is subject to karma. That's why within the existential world, there is life. And life has its own reality, even though it's impermanent. You can follow, huh? Even though it has this universal characteristics of impermanent. So because it's impermanent, if you cannot understand this characteristic through a profound understanding, you will suffer. You will be afflicted by the phenomenal world. Because to you, you think you can own, you can possess, you can cling, you can hold. And because it is impermanent, it will go the way of nature. When conditions cease to be, it will cease to be. So separation will happen. Old age, sickness and death, decay will happen. So when you cannot get what you want, because that characteristic of impermanent is there, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can hold on to, grasp on to and cling on to and say, this is me. This is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. That delusion will bring about suffering. That's why that universal characteristic is automatic. And because it's impermanent, it's not only suffering, it's also non-self, empty nature. Because it's just a phenomenal world, arise and pass away. You know what is a phenomenal world there? Whatever that can be perceived by the mind is a phenomenal world. A phenomena. So phenomena is a mental perception, a mental condition. So this mental, they are just consciousness, come and go, come and go. Even the content of consciousness is the same, the feeling, come and go. Content of consciousness, emotion, feeling, mind state, mental state, whatever, they come and they go. And because they come and they go, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why you cannot cling, you cannot hold, and cannot deludedly say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That's why the five aggregate, all the aggregate, even mental form, they are not you. they are impermanent, not real. Feeling also come and go. You didn't die. So perception also come and go. You didn't die. Mental state also come and go. You didn't die. Consciousness arise and pass away. You didn't die. So the universal characteristic always start with impermanence. The moment you penetrate impermanence through right understanding, the other two, suffering and empty nature or non-self, is automatic. Automatic, it will realize. That's why the three universal characteristics, they come together. They are not separate. You have to start with understanding the conditioned world. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And this is a very powerful statement about the conditioned world. Because of causes and conditions, it arises. But this causes and condition is always in a state of flux. It's never forever the same. Even this table, so solid, you know the vibration inside there, the electron and all those things, the movement, they are decaying. They are subject to forces. And they are held together because these are trapped energy. When they are released, it's all dispersed and gone. So the form is an illusion. That's why I say form is unreal. Yet there are conditions arising. When condition cease to be, it ceases to be. You have to reach that level of understanding. So that every moment of perception, through whatever sense door, the phenomenal world is just the phenomenal world with that characteristic. So when you penetrate that, then you can develop the understanding of no mark. Yeah. But then, when the form and mind come to this conditioned world, it has its duty. It will know what to do. It cannot simply do things, even though it's unreal. That is the ultimate wisdom that Huineng received from the fifth patriarch. Yeah. He told Huineng, when he reached that part of, about the mundane mind, he said, you have to understand that this mundane mind is not real, not you. But you have to also understand that this is very important, even though not you. Yeah. So he said, you must develop the understanding of it and know how to make use of it to cultivate, to develop the understanding of whatever you want, perfection, cultivation. Yeah. Then take care of karma, everything. Yeah. But do not be deceived by it. That is a very powerful statement. Yeah. So when you are not deceived by it, means you know how to use it. That's why that wisdom of noma is established. Then after that, only you can realize that third characteristic of homa. What is it? Huh? No dwelling. Means that true mind, that true nature, because it is nothing, the unconditioned, it doesn't dwell anywhere. But when it's connected to the form and mind, this can arise. The non-dwelling refers to the pure awareness without a center. You understand? Means it doesn't dwell. The moment you perceive you dwell there, the center is being created. So this non-dwelling is very important. But this Samanera just quote what the text say or what people say. That's why he mentioned here, he said, Shen Hui say, I take no dwelling or non-dwelling as the original and the seeing as the owner. So he get himself confused. Because this non-dwelling is not what he thinks. So a lot of people cannot develop their understanding, that's why they become confused. So he thought that is the original. That true nature, the original, you cannot talk about it. Understand? It's not a word. Can you follow? That one cannot come out and live life. Understand? Where is the unconditioned? 本来无一物, original, there was nothing. is even before the pure awareness. But non-dwelling is not the original nature. Non-dwelling is it come out already, connected to the form and mind. But it can use the awareness, means the pure awareness without the content. At that one, it doesn't perceive, it doesn't dwell. That's a specific phenomenal awareness, or spacious awareness without a center. That is your true mind. So that true mind and the original nature, there is still a difference, understand or not? Although very near. Because that true nature, before it manifests, is the pure awareness. But the moment avijja comes in, the first thought, ignorance, causes it to fall. That's why the primordial darkness created the first thought of ignorance. And the Buddha said, inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance that leads to all this downfall. So this teaching is very powerful when you understand. Okay? And now we go on to Shenhua's commentary, page 364, for those who just came in. We see what Shenhua had to say. So Shenhua said, Shen Hui was an exceptional child. Just like I told you all earlier on, he must be very famous. We are very young and he has a lot of Dhamma knowledge. Precocious and brilliant. He forgot his body for the sake of the Dhamma. He could tell at a glance that since you didn't have the genuine Buddha Dhamma, he set out for the six patriarchs way place. 1800 miles. Wow, that is really far. 1800 miles. Our whole peninsula, north to south, is only 1,000 kilometers. So it's a few times that distance. His shoe fall apart and the rocks and silvers of glass on the road cut into his feet. But he continued to walk, tearing up his robe to bandage his bleeding feet and acting as if there were no pain at all. That's why when the great master saw him, he knew that he had undergone much suffering. That's why you look at the sutta, the first paragraph. The master said, the knowing one, journey must have been difficult. He used this word. So that was the reason why Huining, he knew. This boy has his potential, but he also cannot penetrate. He knew Shen Xiu hasn't received the true Buddha Dhamma. But he himself thought he knew, and yet he still need to travel all the way to seek Huining's confirmation and certification. But when he arrived, Huining was able to explain to him the subtle point. So this subtle point, not until you met out with a real practitioner or cultivator, they cannot point out to you. You may think you already awakened, enlightened. But they ask you a few questions, it will wake you up. So we go on. Good knowing advisor, he said, your journey must have been difficult. Then he said, did you bring the original with you? Have you attained your original faith? This one is Xianhua added in. Means, have you realized your true nature or true mind? Do you recognize your original faith? He asked again. If you have recognized, you should know the owner. If you have the original, the Buddha nature, and if you have understood your mind, seen your nature, this one is Xianhua's way of description, which is very good. You should know the owner. The owner is the Buddha nature. Tell me something about it. Or explain. Means actually Huining gave him a chance to express it to him, to explain it to him. Tell me about it, he said. Then Shantung also knew, he said, but this unruling child, ruling means lack of good behavior. Is it? Unruly. Lack of good behavior. Had a mind of his own. Is it? I think not dwelling anywhere as my original face, he said. And my seeing nature as the host. So this sixth patriarch said, you are just imitating the talk of other people. You pretend to know what you do not know, to understand what you do not understand, and see what you do not see. This is nothing but verbal Zen. You know what is verbal Zen? Means knowledge based. You only know how to use the words. It's not an expression of true understanding, because you cannot describe what that true nature is, the self nature is. Then Shen Hui had a lot of gao. When the High Master sat in meditation, he asked, does he see or not? This child was wild and difficult to teach. This is according to what the Chen Hua's commentary. But the way I look at it is different. Hui Ning actually knew this kid got potential. That's why he came all the way. And because of causes and conditions, he is there. Otherwise, he cannot arrive. So it is Hui Ning's understanding that allow him to ask those questions so that he can awaken. Okay, we continue. The patriarch, not being an ordinary person, give no ordinary answer. He hit Shen Hui with his staff and shouted. He hit him 3 times, you remember? Does it hurt? Sometimes it's a typical Zen way. You remember? There was the Zen story. One of the disciples, so excited, came all the way shouting, Master, Master, I have realized, I have awakened. He was so excited. So the Master said, very good, very good. Wow, I'm proud of you. Then he pointed to the table. What is that? The disciple straight away said, table. And you know what happened? The Master whacked him. Pow! With that usual Fang Zhang's staff, I don't know what. or the one that they used to discipline people. Then you are angry, you know. He said, for no reason, why you just hit me like that? So the Master said, you claim you enlightened. If you really enlightened, still got table. Then he looked at the Master. Then he knew where he went wrong. Because he haven't understood the Surangama Sutta's famous saying, perception of form is, you still using your mundane mind. Where is non-perception is? Wisdom. This basic understanding also not there, you say you enlightened. That's why he could not whack. So this one, the Samanera also, try to impress, but the enlightened being, the real cultivator, they know you haven't realized. That's why the way you express it, you can quote the text, no use on, because you can't explain. And they know you haven't realized. Otherwise, you will use your own word and you will know how to explain what that nature is. So because of that, he took his staff and whacked him 3 times. Then he somehow gave him a hint. Does it hurt? What do you think? Does it hurt or not? Because the form and mind sure get hurt, isn't it? But the nature never get hurt, isn't it? But he doesn't know how to answer. That's why later on when he questioned back Hui Ning know how to answer about duality. That's why my seeing and no seeing, I can explain to you. But the moment you were hit, you cannot explain to me. If he could have explained, the form and mind is hurt, but that nature is not hurt. And then he will have the understanding. Otherwise, he cannot reply in that way. So this part is very interesting. Then after that, Shen Hua said, It is not known whether the child was afraid or whether he cried or not. Oh, that one is Shenhua's way of humor. So when this child kena whack, he say, I don't know whether this child was afraid or whether he cried or he didn't cry. Then Sun Hui say, it both hurt and does not hurt. See, he answered, but he cannot reply. The master said, I both see and does not see. Now then he said, how can this be? Sun Hui said, I see my own mistake, said the master. I keep an eye on my evil false thinking and immediately put a stop to it. I do not see the fault of others. Others, evil, others, obsession, others, condition, others, transgression. Student of the Buddha Dhamma should take note of this. See your own error, not those of others. Don't be like a watchdog watching someone else's dog. The dog doesn't have anything of its own, and so it watches over other people's things. Don't be critical and don't gossip. See and do not see. So the instruction is very clear. So initially, initially when you want to cultivate, this advice by Shenhua is very good. More important, the urgency is to see your own fault, understand? Your own defilement. If you lack heedfulness, mindfulness, awareness, you cannot see that. It's only after you can see your own shortcoming, your own defilement that arise through delusion, through wrong view. Then when you understand your own form and mind, you will understand other people's form and mind. That's how understanding come about. When you yourself cannot understand what is going on inside you, you are only pointing finger and trying to tell people you are wrong, you are wrong, you are not doing it correctly and all things. But you yourself cannot see your own fault. So a lot of time in life, you realize you cannot see your own subtle ego. You realize or not? Your emotion, your fear, your anxiety. But you are very good at pointing out other people. Understand not? Wow, that guy, he so violent, no? When people scold him, he reacted very well. But when you react, you don't see him. Because you got lost in that reaction, in that emotion and all that. That's why able to see your own movement. That's the reason why earlier on I say you need to be mindful. And that mindfulness has to be very stable so that you are very sensitive. Sensitive means the moment that mundane mind try to stir or react or move, the mindfulness is there. It's aware already that activity is going to come out. Means you can see a lot of things before that. Then that stirring of mind come about through that wrong view, through that delusion, through that habitual tendency. That's how you can reverse all this through an understanding and retrospectively reverse it through straightening your view. Straightening your view is not easy. You need to really go through life, understand, then contemplate and reflect on the Buddha Dhamma. Then when you really penetrate the Buddha Dhamma, understood clearly what the Buddha said, then only you can straighten your view. I developed this ability is because I remember what the Buddha said. Thing is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. Your nature is. Truth is. The reality is. That's why he said, you have to develop the stability of mindfulness to see things as they are. Not according to what your memory, your conditioning, your views and your opinion and your belief system tell you. According to reality. Then this nature realize, how can I see things as they are? How can I realize that truth? Thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. That's why I reflected. The conditioned world is the conditioned world. That's why later on I came to realize the world is the world. People are just the way they are. Then I realized with this understanding, I'm at peace. Then I also heard from my teacher, it's only mighty nature rolling by, following nature's law, nothing else. Then everything falls into place. Then I realized if I can have this understanding to see things as they are, to accept the reality of the moment, no right, no wrong, this is what Hui Ning was trying to teach this Samanera also. Because when you see all this duality, it's wrong seeing with the mundane mind. The real seeing is without duality. You see things as they are. Understand? When you see things as they are, where got right and wrong? People are just the way they are. Deluded people will do deluded things. You need to say he is right or wrong or not. Right and wrong is relative convention. Right according to who? Right according to him. That's why he do it. But when you comment, it's wrong. Wrong according to who? According to you, understand? But you still have duality. You have not gone beyond duality. That's why the true middle path is to transcend duality. That is the ultimate middle way. So transcending duality, you need wisdom. You need understanding. You need to have the direct seeing to awaken. Because these are all subject to nature's law. Condition arising, causal phenomena, and the universal characteristics are always there. That's why that impermanent characteristics of anicchang is so clear all the while. That's why in the midst of life and nature, they always exist and arise. It's in a state of continuous flux. Always happening. Yeah. That's why truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? The one who see, they always see. So this understanding is very deep, very profound. So unless you can penetrate, you cannot understand what Hui Ning is trying to tell you. That's why he tells Shen Hui, But Shen Hui cannot understand. When he say, I both see and do not see. So Shen Hui has doubt. He say, how can this be? So Hui Ning explained to him, this part we have gone through. I see my own mistake, all those things we have gone through. So he keep an eye on his own false thinking, means the heedless thinking, and immediately put a stop to it. I do not see the fault of others. Others' evil, others' obsession, others' condition, others' transgression. Student of Buddha Dharma should take note of this. This I explained already. So seeing your own fault, your own error, not those of others, is very important. This one initially when you are cultivating. Focus on your own awakening, realization. Don't be like a watchdog. That one all we finish. Then he explained, I see and do not see, said the master. But how can you both hurt and not hurt? If you don't hurt, you are just like a rock. If you do hurt, then you will catch fire and get angry and afflicted, just like an unenlightened common person. Seeing and not seeing are two extremes. See, he is trying to explain to him the duality. And hurting and not hurting are dhammas of production and extinction. So this part is also very important. You cannot even see your own nature and yet you have the nerve to come here and talk down to me. That's why he indirectly, Hui Ning wants to really wake him up. And that is to break his ego, you understand? If you don't break his ego, it's very difficult for him to learn. Remember my last guy, when I met him, he asked me one question later on. If I have not had the understanding, I cannot answer him. You know what he said? First of all, he asked me, where do you return your awareness? You remember? I point to the center of the heart. Straight away he tell me wrong. Instead of hitting my head, hit your ego. Wrong. I just knew. He knew. He knew something that I don't know. That's why I accepted. Because the first three things that he teach is the same as what I did. Relax, aware, 24. I said the first three I did already. Last one, trust, I don't know. And he asked me, who can ask you this question? Where do you return your awareness? Most people, mindfulness, awareness, also don't know what is it. And he straight away can tell me, wrong. Then I got faith that time. I straight away just silent and knew. I just wait for his explanation. Then you know what he said? Slightly towards the left. Then the second question he asked me is what? Do you trust me? I straight away answer, 100%. I trust you. Then he said, sit down. Actually, he want to start already. I said, wait, we haven't taken dinner. I said, I believe you also haven't taken dinner. He said, never mind, dinner can wait. He said, I said, no, we go for dinner first. So I took them up to the resort world there, where they got this kampong restaurant or what, the time, the early days. So we had our buffet, so we spent about an hour or what. Then we came back. Oh, then that time really start. The real training. I just talked to him only. Until midnight, 12 something. By then, I had silenced my mind. The thing, the gateway already. Because when he activated, I straight away knew what to do. I just silent, relaxed. And for the next 2 hours plus, I was so still. No movement at all. Silent. Complete stillness. That's why after that, I had a lot of gratitude and I rejoiced. Then I pay my respect. He said, no, no, no. He said, don't do that. He said, because he is different. He don't like people to pay respect to him. He doesn't believe in all this thing. He said, it's like, it's your affinity. Your nature bring you here. It's not me. He said, I only manifest. So they all, that's why every cultivator is different. They're very weird. It's not their tradition. He's not of the Buddhist lineage. And do you know that? The father was a yoga practitioner, a very powerful occult yoga practitioner. Then he came from a Christian family. But he don't believe in all those, the so-called Christian teaching. He went in direct. That's why he only respect Krishnamurti's teaching. Yeah, he said that is the only book he can read. No? All the other books he read, he feel funny. They don't know what they are talking about. He used to tell me. And even Buddhist book, he tell me. He said, what is all this rubbish? I said, why? He said, keep on saying, using the word mindfulness. That got mind, he said. I said, mind? In fullness, that's why no mind. Mind in fullness, full of awareness, understand? The dance say so la. Why use the word mind? He said, everywhere mindfulness, no. Means asking people to use the. That's why he said, when you are here, the breath, you are in hell. And you somehow encourage people to use thought, no. So that's why to him, he find all this book, He after he read a little bit, he put it down. He said, I don't understand what is all this. He said, this is not reality. He said, it doesn't point to what he realized and what he understood. Well, he came from another world system, another civilization, which is a lot more advanced than ours. And they have this pure energy understanding and all those things. That's why they can break free, but they go a different way because they go the occult way, the pure awareness, the pure consciousness. So this pure consciousness, without the Four Noble Truths, in essence is the Noble Eightfold Path. You still lose the way. Do you understand? Because without the Noble Eightfold Path, to them, they still believe ultimately, that thing, the true self, like the Hindu, they believe in Atman. You know what is Atman or not? The ultimate self, they say, the universal self. They still believe that one belongs to them. That is their eternal life, their eternal nature. And finally, they crave to realize that true self, the ultimate self. The Buddha said there is no such thing. And when you went into the unconditioned, which he didn't went in, that's why he couldn't understand. That's why when I was in New Zealand, I went into that cessation in his house when I was meditating. But he knew, he immediately came out. Then he looked at me, By then I also come out already. Because I was on this, like this couch, couch. There is a backrest. I lie down and meditate. He was behind me on the floor, lie down, where they all carpet. When I went in and come out, he knew, he also straight away come out and asked me, what happened? I say, beautiful. I say, everything is understood. He looked at me. He keep on listening to what I tell him. I told him, I realized something that allowed me to understand the pneumonia and the phenomena. Because that true nature is like the pneumonia. You know what is a pneumonia? Pneumonia is the opposite of phenomena. So the oneness nature, the true nature, is like a pneumonia. Understand? No? Because it's the great oneness, like the source. Then from there, everything come out. So the phenomenal world exists within the pneumonal world. That's why after that, my understanding become very different. And he just looked at me, when I explained. I said, everything is so clear now, I told him. Everything is just dependent originating, condition arising. Because after you come out of it, your form and mind realization is completely different. It completely understood. All of the dependent origination, all of the phenomenal world, the form and mind, everything, and how it animate and start the human being again. Everything become clear. That's why he was so interested. He kept on asking me, what happened? I say, I also don't know how to describe to you. Because I say, it just went in. And then it just ceased. Everything ceased. I say, the pure awareness, all gone. Then I said, that nature, when it come out, is so near to the brain, the consciousness. Yeah. When it come out, that consciousness that arise, straight away disperse into three areas. One is at the heart, one is at the tantien, one went to the brain. And I saw how it activate back, the whole brain, how it come back into functional state. Then how this feeling body together with this, what they call the heart area, how it animate, then how the Tan Tian give me the earthly energy, then this human being become like alive again, like I die and come back again. So after that, I say they are very near. He became very interested. He keep on looking at me, then he keep on asking me, say, what happened? I say it was something beautiful, but I can't use word to describe to you. Because that time was the first time I went in for quite long. I was in his house in New Zealand. He was staying at this Hamilton. I flew into Auckland. Then he took me, go around, then took to his house at Hamilton. Not too far away, I think, about 1 hour plus, right, or what. Then I spent 2 weeks with him and the wife, and I brought the Singapore friend that introduced me to him, the daughter along. The daughter's name is Hui Lin, I think, Hui Lin. That time the daughter got some problem, I think. So brought her along. So that whole week, just the four, the 2 weeks, just the four of us travel the whole of New Zealand. I really cherish those moments because I visited the whole of Northern Ireland. He took me to the Bay of Ireland. he took me to those places where he liked to meditate alone on. In front of the ocean, the beach there. Wow, the wave, I tell you. The nature's vibration. And the air there is so clean, no? Because there are so much more sheep than human beings. Human beings only 4 or 5 million. The sheep got 60 million. No? That's why their consciousness are very primitive, very simple. So very little pollution. No? Their consciousness are very pure. And I can feel it, no, when I was there. Even the food I eat, so different, very easy to digest. And it makes your system very good. And not like our food here, no. You take in already, the gas that come out, sometimes you take those sambal thing and all those things, like chow tau ho, there is this type of foul smell. Even the normal food you eat, you know, it's not so, it's so different. But I feel it, the nature feel it, it's so good. That's like that 2 weeks, like, oh, beautiful this place. Just like later on when I had condition, I took Kayamita there. But we spent most of the time visiting South Island because that was the place I didn't go. Then we flew over to Auckland, stay for another 3 days in the North Island. But North Island, we didn't travel much because we were quite localized at Auckland. But when I was with him, he took me around the whole of North Island, like Taupo and all those things. Those were beautiful moments and beautiful days. So that time, the cultivation was full-time, non-stop. Throughout the day, my nature is fully aware. And the mind is still, just still. That's why when you have the understanding, when you meet people who have the understanding, they can point out to you and they can show it to you. Especially the gateway part is not easy. Very few cultivators can do that. And even he himself told me, you know, by the time people reach this point, at least 80 years old. And that time I was so lucky, you know, I was only 35. You know. I was way ahead of my time. That's why after that, 1989, nobody knew what happened except this nature. Then I also didn't do anything until the year 2004. So a lot of things, if you don't have the condition, you cannot understand. But if you have the condition where you meet the right one, your nature will know. And it will know how to respond accordingly. So even this particular case, this monk, Shen Hui, although he a little bit, we call it what, unruly. Unruly. He still received the message. We read on. Okay. The next part of the sutta. this part is the icebreaker. What he did? Shen Hui? You must have this humility. Understand or not? How many of you can do that? Bow and ask for? Oh, very good. Sadhu. Ask for? Forgiveness. I mean, apologize. And thank the master. Understand or not? That's why immediately I took him for dinner. I was full of joy because when that thing happened, after the thing happened, before I met him, I actually no need to see anybody already. I have the Dhamma already. But the funny thing is, this person, the condition arrived 7 times, no? Keep on repeating, keep on coming, no? That tell me I must see him, no? That's why at the 6th time, I say, I don't know who he is. I must meet him. That's it. My nature knew. Must meet him. That's why I went. I agree and I went. And the 7th time he called me, I went. So this thing is, in a way, meant to be. Because later on, I came to know, because my second last guide, he actually told me, I came with a very heavy vow. And the moment he mentioned that, I knew what my vow was, and it was my vow that bring the last guy. Without a vow, he won't appear. Because my last guy tied in with the vow. That vow is very unique one. Because it's related to the highest wisdom at any one time this nature arises. That's why he must come. And that was the first time he came out. He also was in New Zealand for many years. People don't know about him. But he almost died at the age of 35. Then, you remember I told you? Borneo, inside Borneo there, the deep Kalimantan, the occult Sifu, it's a Chinese, the Sifu. He's a real Chinaman with the short line. He showed me his photo. Really Ape with the white hair, all those things. Real Chinaman. Last night they were the great master from Gobi Desert. Came out, five of them. He told me he heard from this teacher, Ape. They were occult specialists. Then after he met him, he said he was sent from up there, he said, to locate him and heal him. But he's not supposed to die so early. And they only told him he got a mission. He also don't know what the mission is until he reached the age of near 60, 58 or 59. Only people start to go to New Zealand and heard about him. Then this Singapore friend brought him over. The timing was perfect. Then after that, everything just fall into place. So what I'm trying to share with you is, if you have this nature, you will know. That's why this Shen Hui, despite his unruling nature, he still knew. Because cannot be, you understand? Unless that person has higher understanding, he dare not tell you all this. And what he tell you is way beyond what you understand at that time. And for me, I was lucky because the first three, he said, forget about what these people tell you. Miss the occult story that I heard from all those Singapore people. The moment he said that, I felt good already. You know? But actually, I don't want to meet up with occult people. What for? Psychic and all those things. Even pure occult. I don't want. But the moment he met me, I straight away held my hand and said, I don't know what they told you. Forget about all those things that they told you. Oh, straight away relief. No? Then he said, I teach four things. The message was so direct. No? Relax, aware, 24 hours. Trust. Hey, I look at him. No? I said, sadhu. He cannot understand what sadhu is. I said, the first three I completed already. Then he said, I know. The moment I held your hand, I know. He said, because you have pure energy, is it? You really have that type of vibration, is it? Your awareness is very good, is it? Because my movement at that time, fully aware. Then he straight away asked me, where did you return your awareness? The moment I point to the center of the heart, he straight away tell me, wrong. But didn't hit me with anything. Hit my ego straight away. Then I immediately knew. I said, I have faith in him. Because nobody can even tell me what sati was until I develop it myself. And this guy dared to ask me this question, where do I return my awareness? Then straight away tell me wrong. You know why I knew he was right? Because initially, when I returned to the center of the heart, I reached a stage where I cannot take it. No. Not pain. The energy was so strong. No. So strong until I had to slow down the cultivation. No. Because I got no outlet, understand? No, no gateway to melt into, understand? So that build up in energy. Because wherever you return your awareness, there is also energy. Because awareness is without the content. But there is also pure energy inside there. So this one got nowhere to go. Then I realized when I do that, it make me aware. You know, from the center of the heart, the awareness come out. You know, like every moment aware. Non-stop one. You know. That's why I realized when I take care of mine take care of me. You understand? But it make me aware. Aware every moment, every instant. You know, pop. The awareness is just from there. Then later on, I relax. And relax. Then all this starts to like slowly become more and more bearable. Then I do until finally all this doesn't affect me anymore. Because by then, my mind, I don't have to return to here already. I can just relax, aware, silent. Even without the gateway that time. Then I can be at peace already. That's why that time I also realized the cessation, but not for long. The momentary one at the, what they call, Cameron Highland. Then after that, when my daily mindfulness stabilized, my nature become different. Then he was the last one. So when he point out to me, he just say, "Do you trust me?" I say, "Yes." Then he said, "Sit down." Sit down. And his hand, about 2 inches away from my heart now, towards the left. Then I remember what he said, relax, aware, silent. I already know how to do that. That's why immediately I detect that pure energy. It activated one point. And then because I was already relaxed, silent, aware, all my energy melted in. Even whatever, yin yang, everything, and everything melted. And that thing that went through, because most of it was pure energy, when it went through, that pure energy releases all the thing inside and transforms my whole nature. It needs to activate whatever. This is the real opening of chakra from internal, not external. External is temporary. So this pure energy is intelligent, already have wisdom. So I no need to direct or do anything. That's why trust, that nature trust. It just do by itself. It just activate by itself. Then there is like a lot of things, the pure energy, no sound, I have to exaggerate it a bit, like go through. It's very soothing. Then the end product is gaseous. A lot of gas, but no smell on. No smell on. And how the gas is going to come out, how you release it, you are fully aware. Then later on, I realize when my this one stabilizer, the life force that come, your karmic force that come, the powers of life, I can just completely, that whole powers of life, I just send it into the gateway. There is no mind involved. I just aware, the whole energy went in. That's why that time I need a lot of food. I was always hungry. You got not enough food. You need the food. You need that thing to help you. Then after that period over, it clear. Then it start to stabilize. Then after that, all this stop. Stop. Means no need to do already. Then that vibration, again different, transform. That it healed me. My whole body like perfect. It's like a perfect human being. I never felt so perfect as a human being. It's like your car, you go and tune it until the engine got no sound. You know what is engine got no sound? It just, but no sound. The vibration is so still. And yet, there is no thought, nothing. That's why, at that time, how to explain this thing to people? Then later on, not long, my whole Monday mind collapsed. Collapse. That's how all these things become like that. Then all the understanding just come arise. So when your condition is there, all this can happen. But it depends on your past cultivation. If your past cultivation you have not done until there, it may not happen so fast. So be patient. Everyone is different. Your time will come. And this type of cultivation, the hallmark of Huining, is the fastest. Especially the first one, no thought. It straight away bypass all the thought-based cultivation. And when you can realize this, you're already very good. Do you know that? And this one is not difficult. Do you realize that? You just relax and silent and let the natural state come back to itself. Means your true mind is without thought. That is your natural state. Do you understand? So when you just relax and silent, what happened to the mundane mind? Yeah? What happened to the mundane mind? You don't feed it with any more mental energy. What happened to that mundane mind? It cannot think, isn't it? It will start to slow down, isn't it? Then, finally, like the flower, dissipate and wither, cease. That's how you realize your true mind, your silent mind. That's why the real meditation is not doing anything. Just relax, silent, aware, and let it be. Then all this will happen. That's why initially you'll be so sensitive, you can hear your own heartbeat, your own whatever vibration. That is still the beginning. And this is very gross. Initially, like initially you heard, it's like pounding a boobah, boobah. And that is very gross. But as you silent, continue to relax into it and silent, allow it to be, then everything will slow down, slow down, slow down, until so still. Then even the heartbeat like becomes so subtle. The whatever vibration becomes so subtle, like finally there is nothing, no movement at all, still. That is paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silence. Stabilize that. Then only your daily mindfulness can become different. Well, when you stabilize that, your mind enters sati. And when your mind enters sati, you don't need an object of meditation to be aware. It's aware on its own, naturally aware. That's why all this, unless that cultivator has gone through, nobody can tell you. And most of them make themselves peaceful and calm through concentration, energy field, one-pointedness, absorption, continuous mindfulness. Without that, they cannot do. Because when they do that, they suppress the five mental hindrance. That's why when the five mental hindrance is not there, they feel calm, they feel peaceful. Because the mind is in absorption, is in one-pointedness. The thought cannot move. So all this, if you don't have the understanding, if you don't have somebody who can guide you and get you out of that, you will be trapped in thought-based meditation. That's why all the method, the technique come about. All the focusing, the concentration, the jhana, all this come about. Because without all this, they cannot. They cannot develop the silent mind. This silent mind is the true mind. That is silent on its own naturally, without focusing, without concentration. It's not a conditioned mind. It's just a free mind in stillness, silent. That's how your daily mindfulness has to be established with that type of mind, not the other type of mind where you carry the energy with you. Well, that is not a free mind. Okay? So this part is very useful. Then we go on. What's the time? Oh, another 15 minutes. Okay, I try to finish this part. Since you bow, apologize and... sorry, Shen Hui. Every time I confuse the name. Shen Hui bow, apologize and thank the master. The master continued. See? Immediately after that, Hui Ning continued. If your mind is confused and you do not see, then ask a good knowing advisor to help you find the way. Understand? That's why you must develop what? Humility. Understand not? Humility is very important. You don't understand. You need good knowing advisor, means somebody who already has the understanding. You need their help. You better seek, express it. Then he did the right thing, because the moment he paid his respect means he developed humility. Understand not? Otherwise, like last time, the other bhikkhu that came, bow, but the head never touched the floor. Then he knew. Then this one, not only bow, no, apologize and thank the master for the advice. Then he knew already, ready to develop the understanding. That's why Hui Ning straight away continued. If your mind is confused and you do not see, then ask a good knowing advisor to help you find the way. If your mind is enlightened, then see your own true nature and cultivate according to the Dhamma. So it's very straightforward, isn't it? So if you still cannot realize your true nature, means you need guidance. You really need somebody to guide you. Then the next one is, you yourself are confused and do not see your own mind. See? Here, you know, he is referring to both the mind, and the mundane and the supramundane, means the two mind. And yet you come to ask me whether or not I see. Means what? He's trying to challenge the master, understand? Huining. If I see, I know it for myself. But is that of any help to you in your confusion? See, you ask people, no use. If they realize, it doesn't help you, isn't it? Then in the same way, your seeing is of no use to me. Why don't you know and see it for yourself, instead of asking me whether or not I see? Shen Hui then bow again. How many times? Xuan Hua 10,000 times, you know, in front of the Buddha. You know. So this one, over 100 times. Seeking what? Forgiveness for his? He served the master with diligence, never leaving his sight. Actually, the word sight, I think wrong spelling. S-I-G-H-T. Or both also can. Means never leave him in person. The other one is never get out of sight of his vision. So this part is very beautiful. So we read the commentary. Then the rest you go back and read. Then we continue next Sunday. The commentary. The master said, Shen Hui, if your mind is unclear and you cannot see the nature, then ask a good knowing advisor to teach you how to work at cultivation. If your mind is enlightened and you have understood the true mind and seen the nature, then you should cultivate according to Dhamma. You haven't even seen your original mind or true mind, and yet you come to ask me whether or not I have seen it. If I have seen it, that's for me, understand not? But Shen Hua used the word my own business and of no use to you in your deluded condition. If you have seen the nature and obtained the original face, this is a direct translation from the Mandarin word, that's of no use to me. Why not turn the light around and reverse the illumination to find out whether you have seen your own true mind or not? Isn't that better than asking me, what difference does it make whether I have seen or I have not seen? After that, Shen Hui was really, really remorseful. The word should be remorseful. Why had he been so arrogant? Here they use the word incorrigible. I don't know what is the meaning. Should be arrogant. Did he really had no conscience? His questioning of the patriarch was like trying to sell dime novels to Confucian. I think this is a proverb in Mandarin. Or going to the home of Lu Bang, China's first engineer and foremost carpenter, to do remodeling. He begged for forgiveness, saying, I am just a kid. I don't know how high the heavens are or how deep the earth is. Yeah, 不知天高. So this direct translation from the Mandarin. Please don't hold it against me. From then on, Shen Hui waited for the master, following along everywhere the master went to give lecture on the sutta and speak about the Dhamma. So this is how he completely lowered his self-esteem and developed the humility and apologized. That's why you must have this humility in you and the faith. The ego is very, very wild. The ego can go wrong very easily. Okay, I think we stop here. then you'll go back and read it out. This part is very interesting. Another one page only. Finish it. Myself finish here. Your meditation slow down a bit now. So the sutta. One day the master addressed the assembly as follows. I have a thing. It has no head or tail, no name or label, no back or no front. Do you all know what it is? Wow. See, Shen Hui now different with this. Step forward and say, is the root source of all Buddha, Shen Hui's Buddha nature. The master said, I just told you that it has no name or label, and you immediately call it the root source of all Buddha. Go and build a thatched hut over your head. You are nothing but a follower who pursues knowledge and interpretation. After the master's extinction, Shen Hui went to Qinglu, where he propagated the Shaoshi, sudden teaching. He wrote the Xian Song Chi, the Mandarin word is what? Xian Song Chi, which circulated widely throughout the land. He is known as Dayan Master Ho Chi. He Chi. He Chi. He Chi. Everyone shut their mouth. No one said a word. Some of them didn't even speak because they knew. And some didn't speak because they did not know. Seeing that no one was going to answer, Shen Hui jumped out from the assembly and said, I know what it is. It's the origin of all Buddhas. So if he stopped there, then very good, understand. But he kept going and used the word. My Buddha nature. Already told him no name, and yet he created a name. So it's actually to remind him. In the rank of the Zen school, said the master, you are nothing but a scholar. You have no genuine understanding. So this one is to reprimand Shen Hui further. But actually he had the understanding already. It's only that he don't have the refinement of words. In a way, the master's scolding was a compliment. See, Xian Hua also know, is to compliment him. It isn't easy to be a Zen scholar of the school of those who know and interpret. When the sixth patriarch died, Shen Hui went to the capital of Luoyang to spread the sudden teaching of the Zen school. He later wrote the Xian Zhong Ji, a treaty of the Northern and Southern school, which exposed Shen Xiu as a false pretender and proclaimed the Southern patriarch Huineng as the real sixth patriarch, the recipient of the Buddha's mind seal. Had Shen Xiu not written this book, had Shen Hui not written this book, Shen Xiu would have stolen the title of the sixth patriarch. So Shen Hui came to know, to be known as, how to pronounce, just now Pamasuri mentioned, Ho Chi, but the Mandarin name is different. Never mind, you're going to read it up. He Chi, which is the name of the place where he went to live. So he finally awakened, the Shen Hui. But because the sixth patriarch has his way of sharing all this understanding, so he doesn't want Shen Hui to be arrogant. So he, in a way, indirectly, actually complimented him. Yeah, you have the understanding, but I already told you no name, and yet you go and name that thing. So when you use word, you need to express it out, isn't it? So expression need words, need concept. So the expression of it is not that thing. The thing, like I used to tell you, is the unconditioned. you cannot describe it, you cannot talk about it. It's beyond the realm of thought. Thought means concept, idea, words, and all these things. So you need words to express something. Because that thing that everybody realize when you have the true understanding, the awakening, that realization cannot be described. What you describe is never the real thing. That's why the Tao got a very good opening statement. Tao ke Tao, fei chang Tao. The Tao that can be spoken or described or interpreted is not the true Tao. Because all these are words. But later on, in the Tao Te Ching, the teaching, the master, Lao Tzu, he concludes by saying, yet nothing is apart from the Tao. Means the Tao is the source of all things. That's why the source is the origin. That's why Mahayana call it the original nature. Now you understand. 自性, 本性, original nature. So from here, everything come to be. That's why Hui Ning after that, after the fifth patriarch explained to him about how to use the mundane mind and yet not deceived by it, he came to great awakening. Means he knew that nature is so beautiful, so different. Nothing is apart from that nature. All Dhamma comes from that nature. That is the source of all things, the mind right things. That's why when you have that understanding, you will be very, very amazed and full of joy. That's why Hui Ning say, how amazing that originally it was already perfect. The unborn, the eternal nature, because it's unborn, because it's the source of all things. That's why it never dies. It never gets old, it never gets sick. So all this, when you have the realization, you can understand. But to express it, to use word to teach, is another thing. That's why when word come out, it's subject to a lot of what? Interpretation. That's how all the teaching become haywire. Where you interpret it this way, another one will interpret it another way. Then whatever you understand, you pass down. The person who receive from you understand only a certain portion. Then when he pass down, I tell you, the whole thing become very, very different. Even let's say, when the one that understood pass down, maybe the top few disciples, they are arahant, anasana. So as arahant, they understand. We are no more ignorant. Until the arahant level. But beyond the arahant level, they also don't have the understanding. That's why they can only share with you and teach you just up to the level they understand. Then like Ananda, he is only a sotapan. So when he hear all this sutta, all this Vinaya rule, when he proclaim it to the world later on, under the first council, second council, even after he become arahant, he only expressed it from his level of understanding. That's why over the years, there was no written one. So this was passed down as chanting. But the chanting preserved a lot of original words. That one is very useful. But the interpretation of it, the explanation of that teaching, is already long, long gone. And whatever that is left is no longer the one that used to be very, very potent. You know what is potent? I mean, it can awaken living being. Because during the Buddha's time, when he shared all this, it's just like my last 204 until now, maybe 13 plus years. The five aggregate form of mind, the essential Dhamma, we already understood, right? So clearly that. So luckily now got website, got words, everything. So you can quote what the Buddha say, then explain it, then people can understand. But let's say during the Buddha's time, all this were not there. So how can you transmit that teaching? Let's say now I share with you. Among us, we understand. Okay? Let's say there is no recorder, like the Buddha's time. No language. No words to commit to and all those things. So this teaching, by the time my nature no more, when you all pass it down, within less than 1-2 generation, it will go haywire already, I tell you. Then among you all, a lot of you all will argue, hey, Brother Teo didn't mean this, no. Brother Teo mean that, no. Then another one will say, no, I follow Brother Teo very long already, you know. I hear every word he say, you know. Then all this will come. Then some align to maybe Engvi, some align to Papa Sui, some align to Miss Lee, then some go to Sui An, that Thursday class. So how? Break into division again. No? You want the real one? Brother Teo teach lying down meditation. Then the method, the technique come out again. This is all not important. What I want you to understand is, what are you doing in the name of meditation? That one you nobody remember. But that one is most important, understand not? And you check back the Buddha's teaching, he says, strive on with heedfulness. So start from there. Try to understand what is heedfulness. Then from there, all the teaching come out. Then the 5 mental hindrance, the 5 spiritual faculty, then the 4 foundation of mindfulness, the 4 noble truth. Then dependent origination, everything. Even the Satipatthana, the 7, they are all interconnected and linked. So if you can retain all this important understanding, then no division at all, understand or not? Just do. Train your mind. Need to train. Then everybody same, isn't it? Yeah, I teach the same. Then no more Brother Teo teach lying down. Brother Teo say, the 3 hallmark of healing. Oh, then you go imagine what is no thought, understand or not? Then go and interpret what is no mark. Then even go and explain what is non-dwelling. Cannot. All this will go haywire, understand not? But if you go back to the fundamental, like what the Buddha teach, you won't go wrong. The fundamental is what? Am I heedful? First question. And what is heedfulness? You start from there, you never go wrong. Then the 5 pancha niyama, understood that, have the right view. Then see the importance of Dhamma. At least all these are important teaching. It will transform your life. It will take care of your problem immediately. It will develop virtue in you. It will create the condition for you to avoid karmic negativity. Then learn to ask for forgiveness, repentance. Develop humility. Develop love, compassion, virtue. Avoid all evil. True understanding what constitutes evil. Basically, it's the Bodhisattva vow and the right view with regards to this 5 aggregate of form. How all this, if you preserve them and pass it down, this teaching will never get lost. This teaching will never get confused. Okay? Now with the website, you don't worry. Everything is like, especially you open up Heart Sutta. I realize that the last 2 years retreat with the Heart Sutta, people told me a lot of things. No? They don't know Buddhism got so much teaching. What they attended one, even the Penang group told me, they said, Brother Teo, in Hokkien, Ji sa chap ni liao, o dhamma, tu m chai u ane kone dhamma. Because to them, they go until they also don't want to go. No? Why? Because every time is the same. Posi la, dana la, jie xian la. But nobody can link the teaching and explain all this law of karma and come back to real life thing. Means if you don't take care of karma, all the thing that you go and do, like feng shui, all those things, it's not going to help you. Nobody can explain all those things. Then the 5 aggregate of form and mind, the 2 aspects and all those things, and all the other essential teaching, it's all no longer emphasized and taught. And they were like separate topic. And no explanation. 5 mental hindrance. Just the 5 words. Then spiritual faculty, that 5 words, finish. Then some attempt to go in, explain the 5 hindrance. But they cannot link. They cannot connect and develop the understanding to really free the mind. And develop the mindfulness training and the cultivation accordingly. And they didn't even know that Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Most of them think that Noble Eightfold Path is a teaching. Because the Buddha make it very clear. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. You meditate to realize enlightenment, isn't it? To end all suffering, isn't it? So that's the reason why I say, whatever meditation you do, if it don't lead you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Yeah. You think my last teacher don't have all this understanding? His consciousness is pure awareness. Oh, he understood it very well. He can see. He got clarity. But he don't have Noble Eightfold Path. Understand not? He don't have the three right view. He also understand right thought and all things. He also know thought depend on the user. But he think the user is him. The true self. Understand not? And he even tell people that time when he was sharing with, if you use this one to act, your true self to act, no karma. You understand? Form and mind has karma. Don't matter what you use. Understand? Or? Because the mental intention has karma. It doesn't mean you use that one to act, you got no karma. But the two are different. One is the unconditioned Dhamma. The other one is the conditioned Dhamma. So these two are there. That's why Kuan Yin, under the Heart Sutta, is that in true emptiness, all these teachings don't exist. You understand? No Four Noble Truths. No birth, no old age, no sickness. No one to be attained. No one to become enlightened. No attainment, no enlightenment. All this doesn't exist. Just in true emptiness is the unconditioned. Whereas within the conditioned world, there is the teaching, there is the Four Noble Truth, there is the Noble Eightfold Path, there is the Sen Lao Ping Si. All this reality exists, but within the conditioned world. So you cannot be one-sided. If you are one-sided, you cannot fit into the world. So all this is very important. If it doesn't lead you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, you don't have the complete understanding of what the Buddha's teaching is. But his teaching is about becoming enlightened. And what are enlightened beings? He called it the Arya. Understand? Arya means what? Noble ones. Noble in what? All aspects of life. Noble in the way you conduct yourself. That's why you got right speech, right thought, right action, right livelihood. And you constantly arise the four right effort to purify, to take care of your karma. Then you are very noble in the way you understand life. That's why you got right view. So right view will condition right thought. Right thought will condition right speech, right action. Then right livelihood. Then the four right effort. Then mindfulness, samadhi, to give rise to the silent mind, the true mind, to insight into phenomena, to realize this universal characteristic, to awaken. Then this will strengthen the right view further. That's why the whole Noble Eightfold Path is a flow path. It is like every path support the other path. From right view, it support the development of all the other. Then when we write sati and samadhi, it will support right view again. Through insight, your right view will become more and more clear, more and more deep in its understanding. Then when your right view is more clear, your right thought becomes very, very clear, very different again, more refined again. It's not superficial Dhamma anymore. That's why it's called a profound Dhamma. So all this, you will come to understand. So always stay focused. Focus on what you are doing in the name of meditation. Means to train your mind to be heedful. Are you doing that? If you are not doing that, you are not meditating. Because you are just interested in method, technique, and experience, the peace, the calmness. You are seeking peace, seeking calmness. You are not there to train your mind to be heedful. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Why don't you work on heedfulness? And to be heedful, you have to train your mind to be mindful first. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. If you do that, you are destined for enlightenment. And it's just so simple, the gist of it. Then, not necessary to worry about method and technique and what type of teaching. You just based on what the Buddha shared with you. From those essential Dhamma, you can come out with the understanding and cultivation. Then you won't go wrong. Then your training, your cultivation will be very direct. Then you take the Bodhisattva vow, the vow will take you along. It will set up the causes and conditions for you. And you will meet the right people at the right time and the right place. Because you make the aspiration, Ipmina punyang kamena, ma me bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana pati. This one is very powerful. You invoke power of merits. Because when you cultivate no talk, no mark, no dwelling, you are cultivating the Diamond Sutta way. Your merits are very powerful. Cannot compare. They are thought based but no comparison at all. So with that type of merits, you make that type of aspiration, that's why everything will arise. Then the nature just take you along. The great being's affinity with your nature will take you along. They will protect your form and mind, bless your form and mind. Then they will guide you along. That's how you will progress very far. Without this understanding, the perfection of adhittana, means aspiration, determination, or vow, very difficult to walk this way because chances of mistake is very high. When you invoke the power of merit for causes and conditions to avoid the evil and the heedless through understanding who are the heedless and the foolish, then through understanding who are the wise ones, because we already chant in a salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. So the wise ones are the enlightened being of the Buddha's disciple. And they have what? The four types of conduct. Of right conduct. If they don't have right conduct, they are not the wise one. Of good conduct. Then wise conduct. Then dutiful conduct. They do their duty. So you check these four things. If they have them, if their conduct is virtuous, good, means they are real noble ones. Then they are very upright. They are very responsible. Then they are very wise in their approach to life. They can advise you on many things. They can explain to you on many things. And they don't have arrogance, nothing. They are full of humility, full of love, compassion, kindness, goodness. Then the last one is they do their duty very well. They don't teach you to neglect your duty because karma is real, understand or not? You have to take care of your karma. So take care of karma is the form of mind. Cannot simply do things. When there is condition, you must know how to manifest. Where it's no more about he or you. Where there is no more mark. It's just form of mind, form of mind. That's why when you reach the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development, when you go the Bodhisattva way, you will not fall back because you will have the understanding to renounce samsara. Renounce samsara means to you, samsara is no more a problem. The aeons and aeons is nothing because it is form and mind, form and mind. And all this time is from the thought. With wisdom, with understanding, you know, no reality. The nature through its vow just continue to perfect itself and arise to perform its duty, to carry out his vow and all those things. And no reality, it's just that nature. But through all this perfection and cultivation, you build up that nature. And that nature can be finally like a Sammasambuddha or all those great beings' nature, the Bodhisattva. So that's how with all this, the cultivation can become a lot easier when human beings have the understanding. That's why this teaching of the Mahayana Bodhisattva way is a very important teaching. If this one disappears, the world will find it very difficult to actually develop the awakening. Maybe sainthood way will still be around, but it's very difficult to have that nature to continuously arise to help living beings to liberate from birth and death. Not easy. That's why this Bodhisattva way is very powerful, very, very important. So when your faith is there, when you are in the sasana, when you have that condition, you make determination so that you actually develop the ability to arise the causes and conditions for your whole nature to be set once and for all. Not only this life, means all your future coming, even if you choose to come or you have to come, all taken care of because of this vow, this right view, this understanding. Then life after life, your cultivation, all the way, your nature will progress. You will not fall back like before. Because I realize most cultivators, when sasana no more, your nature get lost everywhere. And you have to wait for another sasana with that nature. Because every sasana, there is no doubt you all have done a lot of wholesomeness, cultivated a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of affinity, then maybe determination, aspiration, that all thing. But all this is only useful when the sasana is around. Then you have the condition to come back. But when the sasana is not around, all your this aspiration and all those things, there is no condition for you to come back. But if you fall too deep through delusion, then when sasana arrives, you are still within the hell realm. Cannot come out also. At least if you are in the peta realm, you got Dhamma friends, who idang me nya tinang ho tu, you can come home with and take birth. Ripa. But you are in the hell realm, cannot. They also cannot help you. So this is something for you to reflect upon, so that you don't waste your precious window for this very life. Okay, now you can have your meditation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I think I can still give you half an hour. Now it's only 5:49. Okay, I give you half an hour of the light. Then we can have half an hour of meditation. Okay.
Okay. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Okay, now we will continue with our meditation reporting. You can report your meditation, then ask whatever question related to meditation and the teaching. You just raise your hand if you got any meditation to report. Then we will pass you the mic. Anybody? Ah, yes. Pass to Sue. Yeah. You sit over there. Yeah, you're facing directly the speaker, huh? The last one.
I think I need a little bit of advice from Brother Teo.
Yeah.
At this time round, I think I have lost my bearings.
Oh, okay. Okay, can you describe how you develop your meditation? How you actually do it? Then what happened?
No, not on meditation, Brother Teo,
in a
general sense. I felt like I've lost my bearings, so I need to get back. I need to get my footing back.
On the cultivation, huh?
On the cultivation.
Yes.
I feel like I need to reinforce my virya. My faith.
Very important,
But
these are spiritual faculties.
But I'm not sure how to go about it.
Okay.
So I hope Brother Teo can guide me.
Can.
And then sometimes like let's just say we do chanting or we say the salutation
to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha.
Yeah. I don't feel anything.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether I'm just parroting what other people are parroting.
Okay.
There are times I feel like that.
Yeah.
So I would appreciate if Brother Teo can guide me.
So it's a very, very relevant question. Very good. Thank you so much for the rather good question. So, because a lot of people may also have this problem, but you dare not say it out. Because especially after you cultivate for a lot of, maybe over a period of time. Initially, maybe when you are new, you don't have the reason to develop the faith, the virya, the motivation and all those things. But after a while, when you listen, you see other people motivated, you also develop the faith and the virya, the motivation. Then like what Sue went through, certain period he developed them. Then after that, over a period of cultivation, the understanding is not strong, not deep. Then especially she got to go back to New Zealand for quite a while. So in New Zealand, I believe you only listen to the recording and you try to develop the practice of cultivation on your own. So if you look at the teaching, the Buddha make it very clear. When you chant the Mangala Sutta, you know what is a Mangala Sutta? Sutta on blessings. So one of the very important criteria is to stay near a way place where you can develop the training, the puja, chanting to develop the faith, the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi and panya, constantly listen to the dhamma, then cultivate your puja and all those things, then constantly reflect on the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, to strengthen your spiritual faculty so that you will have that fervency, or that faith to continue with your cultivation. So staying near away place is very important. If around New Zealand or whatever, the place you stay, if there's a temple nearby, then you can, if you have the free time, you go and pay them a visit. Then you don't have to worry about got monk or no monk. You only need to develop the faith. Yeah, when you are in front of a Buddha Rupang, away place, most cultivators tend to have that faith because the vibration there also different, especially if there are good monks or good cultivator who has been there. So this will create condition to remind you. Otherwise, if you stay on your own, you still have not developed the understanding and the real practice, then this faith actually can deteriorate. So what is important is when you read through certain texts, like the Heart Sutra, the Blue Book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, you should develop the understanding so that that faith will come back to you. The determination will come back to you. Then you must have faith in your teacher, especially if you have faith in what I share. When you listen to my recording, the audio file, your faith becomes different again, because if you really can listen attentively, the Dhamma there is so beautiful, and it can allow you to have that faith very strong, that joy. Then every time when I stress on this window of opportunity, when the sasana is there and all those things, you can recall and see the significant import, you will determine. Then when you make offering, you look at the flower, you look at the plant. Even in New Zealand, you see the date trees and all those things. Then you will develop the urgency to practice, to cultivate, to develop this faith. Because your physical form and mind, you know, it will go the way of nature. It will not last forever. And not everybody can live until 90, 90 something. Like our Tun Mahathir, and still so strong and so active. So all this you need to understand. So when you have the contemplative understanding through constant reflection and contemplation, because when you go to this way place, you see the puja, the offering of flowers, then you develop the mindfulness to be observant. Then you see how this beautiful flower decay. That's why you can help out in the temple after the activity or whatever. Then in the evening, or after the flower has been there for a few days, you see who are the ones that help in the upkeep of the flower. When it starts to decay, when it starts to deteriorate, you see the withering of the flower, the leaf. Then like the Buddha Dhamma is shared with you, every phenomena, they will go through the four phases. Initially, there is a growth phase. Then it will fully flower. And after that, it will start to deteriorate, decay. Then it will wither off. Then finally, it will cease to have its beauty. Then all this is to remind you of the impermanent nature of this form, this physical body. Like the flower, although it takes longer time, it will still go that way. So while this body can allow you to have the condition, the health, to do the practice, the cultivation, you should do it. So all this, you develop gratitude towards your good karma for allowing you to have the condition to be born during the Buddha Sasana, to be born a human being, to have this physical body that can allow you to cultivate. develop the understanding of life, to live life, to experience life, to go through karma and all those things. So all this faith, gratitude, yeah, through finally reflecting on who the Buddha is, how special a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. If I can have such a great being to be my teacher, my guide, yeah, and all your kayanamitas, they are helping each other to walk the path of Dhamma, supporting, counseling, motivating, and giving you all the good conditions. And you part of the kayamita, you have your merits, your parami, because the kayamita fund that we collect, we use it to help you to develop the merits, the wholesomeness that other people cannot even do, even if they have the money. Then all this you should rejoice. Then you should thank your good karma for having all such great condition. Then you make aspiration for causes and condition, yeah, for you to avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise and the enlightened one. Then can realize the enlightenment here and now soon as possible. So when you constantly reflect, cultivate all this understanding, your faith will come back to you. Then you will be very determined to go this way. So sometimes, if you really know how to make use of it, when you are far away, then you don't have the condition to have this conducive environment, then whenever you come back, you make full use of it, like the retreat or something, then you strengthen what you need to strengthen. The faith is very easy. You reflect on the Buddha, understand clearly who he is and what he is, then the teaching. The teaching is so beautiful. The Buddha is so wonderful a being. He not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. If he can do it, you can do it. If Kayanamita can do it, if all the great beings can do it, you can do it. That's how you develop the virya. When the faith is there, you only need to develop the spiritual zeal or tenacity to go this way. And you can do it because you see the importance of this practice, this cultivation. You don't have much time left. Maybe 60, 61, 60 plus. Wow, 66 ah. So, if average lifespan is 76, another 10 years only. You know. Yeah. So 10 years is also not guaranteed, you understand or not? So if I were you, I go all out and make that vow, make that determination, so that even this life, if you cannot fulfill or make it, at least the vow will make sure that you will have this condition to come back. When you come back because of your vow, it will arise a causes and condition for you to connect back to the triple gem, because you take refuge and you have faith. Yeah. Then this vow, together with your affinity with all these great beings, especially your good friend, Maitreya, yeah, if you have faith in him, you make determination, you ask him for guidance, blessing and protection, then all this will pave the way. Then when you are at home in New Zealand, even without the temple, because the temple is within your heart, your nature, you don't have to be in a physical temple. Whatever you can recall to mind, yeah, is good enough. So whatever image you have, yeah, even the one you put at my house, you can take back if you want to. Go back New Zealand. So you can use it to develop the faith. And all this is going to help you in many ways. Then the video, the audio file, the whatever Dhamma transcript that we have developed, especially the Heart Sutta and the Cultivating the Bodhisattva, read it and develop the faith. Well, when you understand, there is so much joy. Every time you read, many people tell me, every time they come for the retreat, the understanding deepens. Last time they cannot see a lot of things, but every time they go through the retreat, the understanding just open up. Then every time they cultivate, they read again, the understanding again different. So if you have all this understanding, faith, then even when you are in New Zealand, you can develop the spiritual faculty. When every time you pay respect, when you bow, you will do it with gratitude, with respect, with faith. That's why you will bow mindfully. And every time you chant the salutation, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa, you will have that faith, that feeling, because Namo is homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. If the English word can make you have the understanding and the meaning, you can chant the English. Homage to thee, Sakyamuni Buddha, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Blessed is because they are blessed with wisdom and virtue. Worthy because they are fully enlightened, worthy of respect, offering, hospitality, and reverential salutation. Then the fully enlightened one, to remind you that they are not only enlightened, they are fully enlightened being. Then to the Buddha, I go for my refuge, means with faith. Not only like Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, when you chant, Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, means to the Buddha, I go for refuge. Means there is no other refuge save except the Buddha. The Buddha here means all Buddhas of the three period of time. So when you take refuge, means whenever a Sammasambuddha arise, you will have the affinity and the condition to connect. Because this is what you have done. You take refuge in them. Similarly, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, to the Dhamma I go for my refuge. That's why you repeat. For the second time, Dutiyampi, I go to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha for my refuge. And this is my true refuge, like what we chant at the retreat. There is no other refuge safe except this, because without this, I can't see the Dhamma. I cannot know the true Dhamma. Because when you chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, it explains to you what are the qualities of the Buddha, the nine great virtues. And that make him the Sammasambuddha. So you have great gratitude towards him, the respect and the faith. Then the Dhamma, so that when you cultivate, you won't go wrong. Because if you cultivate whatever meditation you do, if it doesn't realize that type of Dhamma, which is Sanditiko, Ehipasiko, Opanayiko, then Pachetang, Veditabo, Vinohiti. Then the other one is also Swakato, Bhagavata, Dhammo. Then Sanditiko, Akaliko, the other one is Akaliko. Means this Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time. Then can be realized in the here and the now, Sanditiko. So all these characteristics must be there. Then this Dhamma is Ehipasiko, able to allow you to investigate into it, because it's the truth. It will stand up to investigation, just like what you have done during the cultivation. All the essential Dhamma, you put it to test. You do it, and you find out that they really stand up to investigation. Then Opanayiko means this Dhamma lead inwardly to your nature. If it doesn't end up with faith in your heart, in your nature, it is not the true Dhamma. Then this one can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. You no need to ask anybody, no need to seek certification or confirmation. The one, the form and mind that realizes it, will have the understanding. Because this Dhamma is Pachetang. That's why when I did my cultivation, I no need to worry about seeking certification, confirmation, no need. Because deep inside, it understands what that thing is. And that thing cannot be spoken. So that is how faith, virya, sada virya, then mindfulness can be developed. Then you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Then when sati samadhi is there, your mind becomes collected, unwavering, and very mindful, means ever mindful, then it can see things as they are. It can insight into phenomena. It can awaken to develop the wisdom. That's how the cultivation can develop. So listen to the recording again, then write down the pointer, the notes, so that you read through and remind yourself when you are in New Zealand that these are the things that can develop the spiritual faculty, the faith and the understanding, and allow you to progress further. Okay, these are very important. Even for those that are in Malaysia, don't take for granted. Because a lot of people, I realize, when they cultivate, they take things for granted. But one thing I cannot understand is, when I was cultivating during the early days, what I need was certain truth about the mind. I just need somebody to tell me about this mind. Then certain aspect of the teaching, how to start the cultivation and all things. Then the moment I understand, I already know what to do, and I will go all out where I see the important. But after what happened, then when everything already over, then I look at the world, I look at the Buddhist community, I cannot understand human being. Maybe, of course, like the Buddha say, the Mahayana always say this very clearly, it's because of delusion, self-delusion or ignorance, that condition living being into suffering. And that's how they get entangled in samsara. So the Mahayana got a very good saying, is it? Each and every one of us, we are actually similar to the Buddha. We have this Buddha nature that we can awaken to. But because of what? You are caught and you cannot escape. Because of the famous Mahayana saying. What is it? Yeah. 妄想自着. Is it? 妄想自着. Yeah lah. Because of 无明, you got 妄想自着. Means because of false thinking and attachment, born of craving and self-delusion, you cannot see your own true nature, your own true mind. You cannot see how you get entangled in life and how suffering comes to be, how your mind gets tormented. You cannot see the reality of life and existence. Like the Buddha to be when he was a bodhisattva. The moment he saw the four signs, he doesn't waste time. He immediately want to renounce. You have the teaching, you have everything, and yet you don't see the importance. I just can't understand. Actually, at your age, you should be doubly serious. Understand? Because when I was very young, I already told myself, this is so important to me, to my nature. Because it's not only about this life, life after life, whenever this nature need to come or have to come. Because if you don't have the enlightenment, you have to come, you got no choice. The cycle of birth and death, samsara, is ever, ever waiting for you. That's why you will roam through birth and death for eternity in this samsaric world. So if you know you have to come, you better come with understanding. Otherwise you will become miserable. Even this sasana, you are lucky because of sasana you have such good condition. What happens if there is no sasana? Did you all ever reflect? And you cannot assume you always have the good parami or good karma to be born during sasana. Even to be born as a human being, you have to have good parami. Otherwise, it's not easy. That's why the Mahayana saying says, "Zen sen nan de, fo fa nan wen." Means to be born as a human being is very rare. Then to encounter the Buddha Dhamma is even more rare. Then now that this life you have the condition to be born a human being, to be born during the Buddha Sasana, Why are you still waiting? Well, such conditions are very rare. And the worst is, you encounter the true Dhamma. Because even within the Buddha Sasana, a lot of them don't encounter the true Dhamma. You can look around. There are still a lot of adhamma because of karmic obstruction, because of karmic conditioning from the past. You cannot encounter the true Dhamma. And now that you have the condition for all these three to be with you, and somehow you don't know how to make use of it, to make that strong determination to go this way, you will miss this window. And when you miss this window, like our opening statement, 500 million eons, this teaching is as rare as that. Then now that I see it, that's why you make the affirmation. Okay? Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Still got another 15 minutes. Any more questions? You can continue, no problem. You didn't on the thing, did you? Push it all the way out.
This is just for argument's sake. Let's just say you chant, right? But maybe you're not mindful of your feelings, or maybe you don't remember your feelings, or maybe there is no feeling at all. If there is no feeling at all, can that be emptiness?
Okay. So you listen, off it. Because it's very important for you to have the understanding. You see, when you chant something, just like meditation, you must understand what you are doing when you are chanting. That's why Mahayana chanting can bring about the spiritual faculty. Then from the spiritual faculty, you can understand the spiritual teaching and they can awaken. Because with the spiritual faculty, when you cultivate, it will allow you to cause the mental hindrance to cease. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes spiritual powers. And these spiritual powers are very powerful. Because when the five spiritual faculties are unshakable, Dhamma keep on arising. Wisdom keep on arising. And your Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya give rise to the seven factors of enlightenment. That's how you awaken. And they will understand on their own the teaching. That's why Mahayana, from chanting, the spiritual faculty come, then they will be very mindful. Then they will understand how their mind get entangled, how false thinking come about, how it conditioned them into misery. So, without all this understanding, you chant, it got no meaning, understand not? Then you say chant until like no thought, you think that is emptiness. Emptiness is not like that. Emptiness is not empty of everything. No. Emptiness is a realization. Empty nature of existence. Not no thought, then you empty. No. No thought is to realize the true mind. Understand not? But when you chant, where got no thought? Thought is everywhere, but because you are not mindful. So what is important is, if your faith is not there, no matter how you chant, that Saddha cannot arise. But when you reflect long enough, contemplate long enough, they have that understanding that it will drive you, that determination will drive you. That's what Saddha and Virya is all about. Then it will move you to cultivate where you see the important. Then all this fall into place, automatic. Then you will train your mind. Because you see the importance, and this is what you want, this is what passion is all about, love is all about. So without all this, you chant, no meaning. That's why you say, sometimes no feeling, sometimes got feeling, then of course I understand what you are trying to approach. You say, this is just for question's sake. But cultivation is nothing to do with question's sake. Cultivation is understanding, whether you understand what you do or not. If you don't have the faith, whatever chanting you do, it doesn't bring about the real chanting. You ask Engby. When she chants with the faith, the vibration becomes different. It's from the heart. And when it comes out, it's very different. So Dhamma is like that. When you have the faith, I tell you, when I have faith in the Buddha and his teaching and my teacher, every word resonates in my mind. Every word resonates in my heart. Then I see the beauty of those advice that they have given me. It can be in different words, different form, not Dhamma structure at all. Like Ajahn Yantra, all the things he teach me, where got in the Dhamma book one? He just tell me a few things. Mind is mind. Body is body. Body is never the mind. Mind never the body. But we choose to care mind. Because body and mind must harmonize to allow us to develop the cultivation, the practice. Then the wholesomeness and all those things. Means we must know how to use it. Then we choose to accept everything as natural. Where got Dhamma structure there? But the meaning is so deep. Then only mighty nature rolling by. Not so real, not what you think. So all these are the important pointer. Then he tell me, we choose reflect, contemplate until very, very clear. Not less than 6 times. All these are non-Dhamma structure. It's not in the text. But those cultivators who went through, they realize this is important. Then he emphasized on daily mindfulness. He said the highest meditation. We choose aware. Every action, every movement in the present moment. Just like that. So when you have faith in the teacher, all the words stand out. They become so beautiful. Then when you put it into practice, you got a lot of gratitude towards them. You got a lot of faith towards them. And all this comes from the Buddha. Finally, it's the Buddha. That's why we always chant, Namo Bun Si Si Chia Moni Fo, homage to our original teacher, Sakyamuni Buddha. Because all my other teacher is from this lineage. Xianhua, everything is from this lineage. Even the Taimang and other things. But my last guide is not from the Mahayana tradition. So that one is not with this tradition. But whatever that can give rise to understanding and the truth, when you are ready, when you have the cultivation, you will sense it, you will understand it, and you will know how to use it. That's why the Buddha told the Kalama, don't believe anything. Investigate into it and find out. And when you have the capacity to find out, you become very different. You cannot just take in everything. No. You will understand which are the one without the truth, which are the one that has the truth. Wherever it has the truth, your mind becomes different. It can understand. Then it can rejoice. Then it can take it. That's why your nature will become very different. But you must at least develop the faith and cultivate until your heart there open up. You can feel it on. There's an energy there directed to it. Where every time you pay respect, Anjali, there is an energy go to the heart. I realize it open it up. Then when your spiritual faculty are very strong, every day you pay respect, you develop the chanting. That's why I like to sing those Mandarin songs where I sing from the heart. And every time I sing, it open up my heart. Then you can feel energy. You can detect energy. You can detect all very sensitive vibration. then through this, your mindfulness will also stabilize. Well, when you return your awareness to your heart, you open it out further. Yeah. Then it becomes very different. Yeah. Then it makes you aware. Yeah. Then after that, when you can locate the gateway, everything will just flow in. Then the meditation becomes different again. It takes you to another level. Then your mind transforms very fast. You can be with your true mind throughout the day because of that stability, that nature. Then everything becomes very clear to the forming mind. Okay? Sadhu, you have to be more serious than just taking it very lightly. That's why you see the importance. Then determine. This is what Adhitthana is all about. When I make affirmation, my nature is very strong. During the early day, when I visit my teacher, I really pay respect and I really make offering. Then I make aspiration, determination for causes and conditions. Then I repeat my vow. These are the things you have to do, otherwise your faith cannot be strong. Otherwise your nature cannot transform. Okay, anyway, thank you so much for your good question. Yeah, sadhu. Yeah, very good. So, 3 more minutes. Maybe I repeat the opening verse so that you all get it correctly. Verse for opening a sutta. So the Mahayana say, the unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter. How difficult? They say, even in hundreds of millions of aeons, you may not see it. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow, this word is very important, I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. You must do this, otherwise you cannot. Otherwise you just chant and forget about it. You have to be dead serious. When you can fathom the Tathagata's teaching, which is so beautiful, it will bring forth the progress, the transformation, and your nature become different, and you can be a blessing to all. Then in future, when you come, you are different. Your nature can become very different. Then when you really understand the cultivation, you like have a lot of joy, because this is something very, very profound. Then that joy, that gratitude, that respect, that tears, the compassion, the love, it will flow. Then you will thank your own good nature, your good karma, for allowing you to have such condition to receive all this. So that you can be a true human being that has the embodiment of the Buddha Dhamma. The teaching. So this is something that you must develop through understanding, and from there cultivate the faith, the virya, the sati, samadhi and panya, the spiritual faculty. Okay, so with this we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then let us share all these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akka sata cha bhumatha devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana eta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu สุขิตาหอนตุญาเตโยอิมีนาปุญญังขามีนามาเมบาลาสมากโมสัตตังสมากโมโหตุยาวานิวานาปาติยาสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค pay respect mindfully to the Buddha Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones then we end
Yeah.